This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Jump ball, end zone, caught. Cheeks, touchdown.
Wow.
UNC back in front.
And they have scored with 8 seconds left to take a 23-21 lead. As you look at the replay again, Cheeks going up to get it. A kid that played at Mesa Ridge High School in Colorado Springs. Thought about entering the transfer portal. And wait, they looking to see if that ball hit the turf there? And was he bobbling that? Did that hit the turf? They are now taking a look at this. This is being looked
still,
at.
It was still in his hands. They are looking at it, but it looked like it was still in his hands as he's rolling over.
Now we'll go see. One of those angles, it looked like the ball might have hit the ground and then it jarred loose. Right there. And the ball is tough to tell. I don't know how you...
Whoa! Incomplete pass! An incredible turn of events.
It came down to that in this game on Saturday. Boy, a lot to unpack from this one. I mean, first off, for the Rams, like, the Bears should have had no business in this game, and that's not a knock on the Bears. In fact, I think Bears stock just skyrocketed. But was it a catch? Let's just break into it. Was that a catch? 50-50. It was close. If they would have ruled it incomplete, I think it should have stood as incomplete. If they ruled it a catch, should have stood. This happens all the time in football. It's a 50-50 type of play. It did look like Carver Cheeks' hand was under it. I've seen 4 million different views. And some of the still images I'm getting, I'm like, what am I looking at here? It's still blurry as hell. I can't tell. The angles that we got, and again, could we be getting different angles that the officials are getting? That's crazy. If we are, we should be getting the same thing so then the officials can sleep at night. But that looked to me like a catch. And then the fact that it was called a catch and then overturned is mind-boggling to me. So the Rams win this game, 21-17. In a situation where if that is ruled a completion at the end of the play, the Rams are on a bye week. Are we talking about something different with Colorado State and Jay Norvell today? I'm not sure because the question in my mind is, okay, who's going to be the next head coach then for the rest of the year? You've only played 2 games. So I was still not sure, even if the Bears walked away with that win, if that is going to cost you your job this year. Probably would cost you your job next year. But let's go over here to UNC. Let's talk about them. I mean, first off, Carver Cheeks. I heard Brian Roth there on that call, altitude. The game was on altitude. This was huge for UNC in the state of Colorado. A lot of people watching that game. Maybe they weren't at first, but they started chiming in when the Bears were up 10-0 at half. So this is a great opportunity for UNC, even though they lost. It's a situation where a win feels like a loss and a loss feels like a win. I know Ed Lamb will not agree with that. But from the fans' perspective, walking out of Canvas Stadium, it certainly felt like Colorado State lost that game. If you're a football person. I was walking behind as I was leaving the press box. I was going out of the stairs. I don't like to take the elevator. And there's just random fans in front of me. And you could just tell. The ones that follow this and know that CSU should have won by 30, we're not happy. The ones that were just there because, hey, it's a football game and we're something to do on a Saturday night, they were like, oh, wow, what a game. It was bad. We lost and we won and we won and we lost. It was crazy. Those are fans that are not paying attention to the fact that the Bears only won one game last year and only won one game in 2 years and are averaging like 2 to 3 wins pretty much since they joined FCS. But the ones that actually know walked out of that stadium, turned off their TV, and thought this was a loss. For UNC, the win would have been monumental. This would have been the biggest win they've ever had. This is in front of 36,000-plus. You know, they got a tough opponent coming up this weekend, and we'll get to that. But, wow. You go into this game. Peter Castelli goes down last week. You got your backup quarterback in. We don't know a ton about Eric Gibson Jr., but I was extremely impressed with him. 17 of 28, 160 yards. He did fumble. He threw a pick. The pick was at the end in the game, essentially just semi-Hail Mary type of deal because they had the taunting call. The taunting call on Carver Cheeks, which I didn't see. I mean, it looked like pass interference originally. And then Carver comes down with the ball, shushes the crowd, and gets called with a taunting. What are we doing here? And so the penalty actually really hurt because now you're throwing it from a lot further away. The possession before that, Braden Fowler, Nicolosi, everybody's covered in the end zone, and BFN takes off and gets the touchdown, but he was bad in this game. 13 of 25, 132 yards, and an interception, also a fumble. 5 turnovers, but also a turnover on downs, and I count that as a turnover. So 6 turnovers for Colorado State. The only positive that you can take from CSU, if you're doing that, is the fact that they are still running the ball really well. Lloyd Avant was exceptional. That guy runs angry. He had 68 yards and a touchdown. But Jalen Dupree had 58 yards, only 13 carries for him. So wild on that side, but I know the story is the catch or the incomplete catch or the incompletion. That's the poll question today. Was it a catch or was it incomplete? I'm not talking about the review. I just want to know, from what you've seen, was that a catch? And I got 46% saying it's a catch, 54% saying it was incomplete. I just, it's like the tie goes to the runner kind of thing, man. If I had to go, I'd go 51% of my brain is going to say that's a catch. And then 99% of my brain is going to say, if it was called a catch, there's no way that's overturned. What a tough night for the Bears in a game that would have, I mean, I already think it did. I think it changes the trajectory for UNC going forward. I thought maybe this UNC team is going to, you know, maybe we can get 4 wins from this team. I don't know. The fact that they didn't win that game might light a fire even more because they felt like they were robbed. And now you take that going forward. I don't look, we'll see what happens against South Dakota and the rest of the season, but I don't think that's one of those where it takes the wind out of your sails. For CSU, oh boy. I mean, they got the week off, and then it's UTSA. That's no gimme. And then Washington State. So they're in a very tough situation right now. I mean, I think for some Rams fans, the only way Jay Norvell saves his job is if he goes ahead and wins the Mountain West Conference championship. I think that's where it is. Because you're going to look at the, yeah, against Washington. What did Washington do this weekend, Mike? Did they win?
They won 70-10.
Who'd they play? The middle junior, Billy Bob's Middle School or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how good Cal Poly is going to be this year.
Yeah.
They were good last year, but you know how it is every year.
I'm just wondering, like, again, is Washington any good? Because CSU made it a game against Washington. Was that a case of we put everything into this Washington game and then that's it? We gave it our best and that's it? And everything else kind of just fizzles away for CSU? 2 strange weeks for Colorado State. Let's read some text. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Eastside Chris says, Brady, I'm worried about two of the three head coaches. Sean needs to swallow some ego. Fourth and eight, you're worried about a block and a scoop. Norvell forgot any team can beat you. Yeah, both true. And we'll get to the Broncos, too. This was a weird weekend because CU didn't necessarily look amazing against Delaware, and we might have a quarterback controversy there. Mark Johnson will join me in the 12 o'clock hour. We're going to have Justin Michael with DNVR Rams join me at the bottom of the hour. That'll be interesting. Texter from Faith here. Cheeks shuts the crowd and got a flag, but we can dance and such, and CSU gets nothing. Yeah, I don't know why they called a penalty. Hearing that makes me want to throw up all over again. Yeah, it's devastating for the Bears, man. I was looking over. The press box is the visiting section is off to my right from the press box, so I could kind of look down and see. And, man, they were pumped. I mean, as loud as they can be when the majority of the fans in the stands are wearing orange, rooting for the Colorado State Rams. Devastating. Texter from the 970, what's the percentage of the people answering your poll question who are Rams fans? More than 50%? Yeah, probably. I have more Rams followers than I do Bears followers, and that's a Bears problem. So, at whole show, let's go get that going. I talk about what my audience wants to hear. And if my audience wants to hear more Rams, then I talk more Rams. But you Bears fans, that's on you. Let's get that rolling. Let's get that fixed. Texter from the 303, I'm a CSU season ticket holder, but was out of town this weekend. Obviously, I didn't go through that roller coaster of emotions, but seems the quarterback malaise infects the entire team. Did you get that sense in person? If BFN remains a starter, I'm fully expecting more of the West Coast offense going forward, much like last year. Yeah, BFN's not good. And I'm not going to give a name, but there's a certain player on this team that's really good and maybe doesn't get enough looks. That player has a relative that keeps liking all of my stuff when I say, man, BFN is rough. BFN is bad. Blah, 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 blah. Just interesting. I'm not going to say who that is. I mean, you could probably figure. I don't know if you can find likes on X, but I'm not going to reveal that one. Interesting, though, because Deion Sanders Jr. liked a tweet from last week when I said Pat Shurmur ain't it. And then this one was interesting, too. So they're watching. Why aren't you following? At whole show. The BFN thing is a problem now because Jay Norvell, and I said this would be the reverse. This would be a negative effect. If Jay Norvell is going to come out and say Kansas State is poaching my guy, they're throwing $600,000 at him, blah, blah, blah. Great. You put K-State on notice. You put teams on notice. But you also put Braden Fowler, Nicolosi way up top because he was loyal to you. He didn't leave. How can you bench him? 13 of 25, 132 yards, an interception, and a fumble, and just a lot of bad throws. He had a 39.8 QBR. Eastside Chris, I'm a Ram first, Bears second. UNC won that game. That was the sentiment I got from a lot of Rams fans. I mean, this tweet I put out was that I was shocked at how many Rams fans were basically saying they deserve to lose this. I've never seen that. I don't know that I've seen that with any fan bases where it's like we almost don't want to have that win because the win feels like a loss, so might as well make it hurt more. And then if you're wanting changes, that would really put changes into overdrive. And I've been asked, like, do I think Jay Norvell is a good coach? I think he's a average to good coach, average to good, somewhere in between that. He's not great. He's not good. I'm not going to classify him as good. He's average to good. He makes about three or four head-scratching decisions a game that ultimately costs the Rams big. It's a tough spot for CSU to be in. No question about it. Michael, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly. Presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good, either way you want to slice this, Bears stock is up. People are talking about the UNC Bears other than just me. You got Denver dialing in on this. They don't even know where Greeley is. And today, maybe they do. And that's Ed Lamb. And that's these young men that went out there and poured everything they had into this game. Ebenezer Ecubon's son, Mike, former Bronco, Ezra Ecubon, just had himself a game. I hope he's okay. He was banged up. Eric Gibson Jr., Carver Cheeks, Braden Monroe, and Faith, I saw Miles McClarity with his first tackle on special teams as a Bear. That's awesome. This is a team that freaking cares. And I'm in for it. Ed Lamb told me on Football 52, they don't make movies about the teams that are supposed to win. They make them about the ones that are absolutely not supposed to win. I'm here for that movie. Hope I can get a part. The bad, I'd play myself, or Brad Pitt would probably play me. Probably. Maybe a mix between Brad Pitt and like Leonardo DiCaprio or something. What do you think?
Can I be an extra?
Yeah, you could be an extra. You'd be played by Dwight.
No, I would be an extra. I would show up in the movie in the background. I'd be the guy wearing the Broncos hat.
Yeah, I'm sure they'd put you in there. The bad for me was Bo Nix. Bo Nix was bad. Sean Payton was bad. They don't run with any kind of flow. They just run, I think, just to check it off the list. I'm watching Baltimore Buffalo last night. They run on purpose. Now, they have the personnel to do it, but it just looks way different than what we saw from the Broncos. Broncos get the win. And the ugly was the finish to this game. It would have been totally okay to just throw an incomplete pass and this game's over. Oh, man, still, the stuff we're talking about with CSU is still there. The stuff we're talking about with UNC is still there. It's just, it comes down to that kind of a call, and nobody really wants to see it come down to that kind of call. Now, if this isn't UNC and this is Washington, if this is Washington State, and this same thing happens, no Rams fans are apologizing for the win. That's fine. But with UNC, even though they know that that ends the season and that probably ends Jay Norvell's career as the head coach of the CSU Rams, a majority of Rams fans felt that they should have went ahead and just lost this game. Because even take the final play away, and it's not knocking the Bears, but that is viewed as embarrassing because I think they were 30-plus point favorites when this came out. Now, that wasn't during my show, by the way. Lines were not out during the show. That counts. That counts. I make the picks on Friday. Everybody knows that. And if lines aren't available to me when I make the picks at 145 or 150 on Friday, I have to go with a winner or a loser. I cannot create my own line. So that counts. I went 3-1 over the weekend. The Broncos let me down. All Sean Payton had to do was kick a field goal at the end of the game. Instead, he lets Bo Nix air it out, and you gave the Titans a chance to win the game. Weird weekend. Quarterback controversy in Boulder. Three dudes playing. Who's going to be the starter at Houston? Wyoming doesn't, they avoid any kind of a scare by an FCS team. They worked their opponent pretty good. Northern Iowa had no shot. So that was like the main positive, is that Wyoming looks like they might be okay because they've had trouble with FCS teams in the past.
And Air Force had great practice.
Yeah, they didn't play this weekend. Thank you, Faith. I can see Brad Pitt playing you. Thank you. Yes, absolutely. 23 minutes after the hour. I want your thoughts on this game. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I went to UNC. I cover CSU. I cover UNC. I was asked so many times, Mike, who are you rooting for in this game? Well, I'm in the press box. You can't clap. You can't cheer. I had one of my great friends up there who was there for UNC in one of their suites, and I saw him in the hallway. He's like, why aren't you more excited? This is cool, man. I'm like, I can't really get excited, but I wasn't rooting for a team. I was, you know what I was rooting for? UNC to give off some positives, and then CSU to show us that they're going to be ready for this long haul when it comes to Mountain West play. And I was rooting for a good game, even though, I mean, I saw a couple of media guys in there, and I said, I'm rooting for a good game, and they all rolled their eyes. They're like, it's not going to be. So that's what I got. I got a great game.
Well, looks like you were right.
I was right.
I was rooting for a team. I was rooting for CSU for majority of the game.
Because of the formula.
Yeah, and then towards the end, I betrayed the formula, and I'm like, I'm kind of rooting for UNC.
There was a part of me at the end. I'm like, go ahead and win this, Ed. Because Ed's a friend of mine. I look up to that man. He is an amazing human being. Jay, I don't have that kind of a relationship with. It's not saying he's not an amazing human being. I just don't have that. Ed, I see Ed in the podcast studio every single week, and we've developed, you know, obviously connection with our sons and stuff like that. But I do pull for the man, and we'll see how this one goes. I was off. I was wrong. Who thought that this was going to be Bears leading 99% of the game? 24 minutes after the hour, Mike. We're going to take a short break. I got the Diamond Valley Collectibles trivia question coming up. We got to register. It's a new week. Smitty took home the $20 gift certificate last week, and now he's in the mix for the big grand prize, $100 gift certificate and a signed jersey. Who's going to get in the mix this week? We're going to give you got a 1 in 5 opportunity to get in, but you got to answer it right first. That's how it goes. And there's no rules on this. If you answer it right today, you can answer it right tomorrow, and you give yourself a better chance. Justin Michael coming up, DNVR Rams. It's the whole show. How hot is Jay Norvell's seat? We'll discuss that as well. We'll be right back.
From preps to college to the pros, we have your football on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
Big City Roadhouse. I am so pumped about this place. It's gonna be awesome. You guys got to check it out. They just opened at the end of last week. And do me a favor. Tell them that I sent you. This is a brand new place. They took over the Cables location, and that is a legendary restaurant. But now we're looking at Big City Roadhouse. Big City flavor, Roadhouse comfort. You got elevated comfort food with bold flavors. Tavern-style pizza, wings, steak, and yeah, Big City favorites. There will be a section on there for the burritos. Their burritos are ridiculous. So I'm going to stop by there this week. I'll give you the full rundown. But in the meantime, you guys should go check it out. Big City Roadhouse. 30 minutes after the hour, Justin Michael's going to join us. What's he? He runs DNVR Rams, and he's got a lot more Rams followers than I do. So I'm curious to kind of get the vibe he's sensing from Rams fans, because the vibe I got was that Jay Norvell's time is running out. Let's see if he agrees. 31 after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKN.
The 11 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Chevron. What a weekend. So many things to unpack, and we're still on this Colorado State and Northern Colorado game. What a game it was. Joining me now, Justin Michael with DNVR Rams. We're working on it. You need his number? I gave it to you. Let's see here. I don't know if I can give it to you right now, Mike. I saw you write it down. So Michael is scrambling here right now. Okay, I just shared it with you on your cellular device. Apparently was trying to call somebody else, and we're talking with Justin about this. So nice one, Mike. He called Benjamin Albright. You wanted to talk Broncos so badly, you just called
our Broncos
insider that is on the show Friday. And knowing that we have Justin, we're going to talk to Justin now with DNVR Rams. Wow. But this game was, it was disappointing in so many ways. I mean, it almost feels like two losses. I keep saying the loser won, the winner lost, but CSU, I mean, it almost feels like a loss. And for the Bears, it is a loss. You're 1-1 on the season. It's a weird week. Two is a weird week. And I'm not making that as an excuse for CSU, but you saw that a lot kind of over the weekend, too. Joining me now, Justin Michael, DNVR Rams. Justin, my friend, what a weird night Saturday night was in Fort Collins.
Yeah, that the whole thing felt like a fever dream for sure. It was a whirlwind. I mean, a lot of emotions, obviously, on both sides. I think you got to credit the effort and the heart that UNC played with. Those guys came in and really outplayed CSU for the majority of the game. The Rams had some, you know, fortune at the very end in terms of the replay review and all that. But, yeah, just a really weird game altogether.
What is your take on it? I mean, I think there's a lot of people now seeing the footage. Okay, maybe it was a catch, but I think we all, Bears fans, Rams fans alike, all kind of agree that if it was called one way, there was nothing conclusive enough to turn it over, and that's what happened. It was called a catch alive, and then they went and reviewed the play and called it incomplete.
I mean, based on the angles we saw on TV, it certainly felt inconclusive. I was very surprised they overturned it. I'll say that. I didn't believe he caught it just based on the way he fell. To me, it seemed logical that, you know, you're kind of trapping the ball against the ground there. But, yeah, again, you know, it just felt like it was highly subjective, which if it's not, you know, conclusive, then they aren't supposed to overturn it. That said, I don't know if we know all the angles they saw. I mean, I posted another angle online to me where it does make it look like he did, in fact, not catch the ball. But, I mean, that's one of the wonky things in football in general. It's funny, we kind of mentioned this on the podcast at the beginning of the year, but if somebody put a knife to your back and you had to succinctly define what is or what isn't a catch, could you do it? Because I cover football for a living, and I don't know if I could.
Yeah, no, it's always, depending on the game, it's always something kind of complicated. It's one of our favorite things to argue about, I think, in football, is it a catch, is it not a catch? But either way you want to slice this, I mean, Justin, I'm walking out of Canvas Stadium, and I'm listening, you know, I'm walking amongst Rams fans, and it did not feel like a Rams win. Not at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think aside from the controversial ending and all that, was it a catch, was it not, the fact of the matter is that for far more in this game than they were than otherwise, UNC was the better team. They came in and they significantly outplayed a team that has far more resources and, you know, really should have been able to handle that opponent. Not, I don't want to say easily, I think that's far too dismissive, but like it certainly should not have come down to that. And, you know, I've heard you talk about it, you post about it, but it was a game, I think, kind of a lot like the bowl and the CU games that really did a number in terms of the support that Jay Norvell has right now. And I've been a pretty big advocate of his, but there's really no defending that type of performance. You know, I look for an optimistic lens. I really try to find one, but it's tough to see the light through the trees right now.
So, I mean, how hot is Jay Norvell's seat at this point? I thought he was on somewhat of a hot seat to start the season, but then you have this performance against the Bears. I mean, Justin, what does he have to do to ensure that he's coming back next year?
I think it's hard to put a specific number on it. I also think we need to remember that while the optics of this matchup were very poor, the most likely outcome through the first 2 weeks was always going to be 1-1. So, like, from an objective standpoint, everything's still on the table for this team. They are exactly where they thought they would have been from a record standpoint. It's just, from an eye test standpoint, it's not enough. And that's been a pretty persistent thing, I think, really, the last couple of years. Like, even last year, you win 8 games. There's some style points, and that's where I feel like it's hard to set a definition outside of, like, you know, win the Mountain West. Obviously, that would be great for him. He's probably back if he does that. But it feels like these next 2 weeks coming out of the bye kind of set the tone for what the future of the season looks like, what the future of the program looks like. And, you know, like if you're sitting there at 1-3, especially, I think outside of like pulling a miracle at that point and running the table, you know, beating Boise on the road, winning the league and something like that, if they don't come out these next 2 weeks at home in front of big crowds, you know, that's been the thing, the fan support's been there. And when the results are like this at this stage, it's not going to be enough for an an administration that has higher aspirations, and with the move to the Pac-12 and all that, fair or not, like, the pressure is on, and I don't think that it can be a show-me-later type deal. Like, they need some style points, and they need them now.
Do you think, again, you've said you've defended Jay Norvell, and I have too, off and on this show. I've never been one that's bringing out the pitchforks. I've just not been that far. I will say, in my mind, I think he's an average to good coach that makes 2, 3, 4 really weird decisions a game, and a lot of times that costs him big. In your mind, is Jay Norvell a good coach?
Yeah, I think he's a good coach. I don't know if what we've seen to this point would make anybody believe he's a great coach. I think he's a great recruiter. I think he inherited a mess, and he's flipped the roster in a significant way, and you can see that in the trenches, and you can see it with the talent they have with guys like Dupree and all that. As far as the play calling and all that goes, I don't, you know, I think we can be a tad hypercritical, but I do think there's some quirky things, like, I don't know, as much as I love the Bullock wrinkle, maybe you go to it a little bit too much. You're taking your quarterback on and off the field quite a bit. You know, like that can be an issue, you know, with him getting a rhythm and all that. And also it doesn't really seem like he calls the game like he trusts his quarterback. And if that's not the case at this stage, you know, with a third year starter, then I think it's fair to say, well, what exactly are we doing here then? And it's just been far too inconsistent has been the biggest issue. You see the flashes, and they have these moments, you know, where the offense kind of comes alive. A lot of the time it's on their tempo and down and end up doing some crazy stuff, like the Utah State comeback last year, like Boise a couple years ago. But it's just far too erratic at this point. And I think that's a big part of why a lot of the fan base has a hard time kind of ever seeing them kick down that door and accomplishing more, because, you know, frankly, like I still very much think a bowl is going to happen for this team, is, you know, 6-7 wins, if that's what it ends up being. Even if you beat Wyoming and Air Force, is that enough at that point? I don't know.
Well, and now this game, even though it was a win, this is not one of those, I don't believe, Justin, that at the end of the season you just look back and go, well, we won 7 games. I still believe that one of those wins you're always going to look at and say it was against the UNC Bears in that strange way. Maybe not. Maybe by the end of this, they win some crazy games and they get enough goodwill. But it sure seemed like, at least from my standpoint, just what I was seeing on social media, that the shift from maybe 50-50 on Jay Norvell is like maybe 80-20 on the negative side.
I think it's going to be a pretty steep battle to, you know, reestablish any type of faith across the board. I think that's more than fair to say. I mean, the reality is, and like, while I still think long-term the best thing for CSU would be if it were to work out with Norvell, but it doesn't matter what I think, it's a results business, you know? I just think that it's tough to argue, like, when you look at two of the last three performances being the bowl game and then this UNC, like, those are two pretty massive letdowns this far into the tenure. That's tough, and the fans get tired of being told, you know, we're close. At some point, the results have got to be there, and that's really why I think these next couple of games are going to be massive, because I think with how heated people are right now, if they were to fall to 1-3, especially like if it's not even competitive against these teams who are formidable opponents, like, these are not easy matchups, these aren't gimme wins. You especially can't say that after how they looked in this past game. But even aside the fact, like, I would have said that had they blown out UNC, these next two games are going to be tough. If you fall to 1-3, I just don't know how you climb out of that hole. You might not even get the opportunity to do it in the first place. It could be in season. But also, like, even if they were to keep them around for the rest of the year, I just think outside of, like, pulling a miracle at that point, it would be pretty hard to sell the fans on, no, this is still an ascension and not, you know, I guess, stagnation.
Yeah. Justin Michael joining us, DNVR Rams. Okay, prediction time from you. Let's talk. Well, Jay, do you think he'll do enough to keep his job at the end of the season?
I really don't know, Brady.
Yeah,
coming into the year, I would have said fairly optimistically yes, after Saturday night, and maybe it's still just heat of the moment, you know, we're like 36 hours removed, but we're still in the thick of it. I think these next 2 weeks basically answer that for you, though.
How about Braden Fowler-Nicolosi? Do you see him keeping his starting role? Coming up against UTSA, or do you think at some point this season he will be benched?
I certainly don't anticipate a quarterback change for UTSA. I'll say that. It's not impossible. I mean, we've seen Norvell do it before. He bailed on Millen to put a BFN in the first place. So it's not like he's scared of pulling the plug at some point. I will say, based on what I've seen in practice and like scrimmage settings, and we don't get to see every rep in practice, so that's, you know, a key distinction. But based on the stuff I've seen and compared to the other guys, Braden's the best option that they have on the roster right now. Darius Curry's not ready. Brousseau, from what I've seen, he throws a pretty ball, but like in the scrimmage settings, like I just haven't seen him do a ton like to make me think, oh man, like that would be a spark. So I don't know. You know, I think anything's on the table. Norvell was certainly the most critical of him post-game that we've heard in quite some time. Like, he didn't throw him under the bus or anything, but was pretty forward with that he was missing reads and the turnovers. And I think a lot like what you could say with Jay, the pressure is on Braden to prove it here these next couple of games.
Yeah, well, it's just like that. 2 weeks in, pressure is ramped up, my friend. Justin, appreciate you, and we'll look to catching up with you down the road.
Much love, man. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Justin Michael, DNVR Rams. Big Hub texting in. Here's my thoughts on CSU. We need something changed immediately. Whether it's a new coach, better recruiting, or NIL money, we need something before we go into Pac-12. BFN with these mistakes is unacceptable as a vet, and for the touchdown, the Bears were juggling it, but CSU got the lucky end of the stick. I mean, this is, it's like we talked about with Washington. Like, when as a Rams fan do you want more? And do you stop saying, yeah, it's Washington? Or in this case, UNC, well, we still want. When do you get to the point where it's not, well, it's Washington? Or, yeah, win's a win. When do you say, hey, like, we got a beautiful freaking stadium that rivals a lot of great places in this country? CSU does. And when do you say, like, we have the resources, all that stuff, but not much to show for it?
The phrase, yeah, we still won, isn't a win.
No. No, this one doesn't apply. And I do think at the end of the season, let's say Jay Norvell wins 6 or 7. This is not where, hey, at the end of the season, you're going to look back and you're not even going to remember how those games went down. I guarantee you, 6 or 7, you get to 6, and it's not going to be, oh, well, we're 2 years in a row bowling. No, you're going to look at that and say, yeah, but one of those wins was a very questionable eke-out win against a UNC Bears team. Now, the Bears might go on and be a really good team, and that would be the formula thing, but being a really good team in the FCS is much different than where CSU is, but that would still help a little bit if the Bears go on to be South Dakota, or what is it, South Dakota State or North Dakota State. If they go on to be a team like that this year, then maybe it makes you feel a little bit better. I don't know that that's the case for the Bears. And I, like I said, dude, last week is learning week. This week, I'm more confused about CSU. Like, why were they competitive against Washington? Was it just a game one thing and Washington couldn't figure it out? Maybe. Looks like it today.
Certainly looks like a little bit of both.
Texter from 303, Brady, we deserve all the bad karma. We fired Sonny Lubick. It does seem like since they fired Sonny Lubick, CSU was, I mean, they had the Jim McElwain year. Like, it was up and, you know, he was there for 3 years. But his third year, wasn't that the 10, they won 10 games, and they're legit, but then he was gone. And that was short-lived. 11:52 the time. More on this, more on the Broncos, more on the Colorado Buffaloes. They ended up covering against Delaware, but that also did not feel like that big of a win. Something in the water here in the state, man. Is it basketball season yet? We'll be right back.
What's happening in your community?
Greeley, Loveland, and Fort Collins, Good Morning NoCo is on it. Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
Best segment radio coming up. We blew the clock last hour, so we gotta go. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, top story of the day coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.